أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد.
أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في كتاب المجيد، في كتاب المكنون، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ألم تر كيف ضرب الله مثلا كلمة طيبة كشجرة طيبة أصلها ثابت وفرعها في السماء. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات الله على محمد وعلى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
I begin as usual in the name of Allah, the Beneficent and the Most Merciful. All praise is due to Allah, whose word cannot be described by any speaker, whose answers cannot be numbered by any calculator, whose knowledge, power and wisdom cannot be described by any description. Allah's knowledge is such that there is not a taint of ignorance in His knowledge, and His power is such that there is not a shade of weakness in His power. Allah's justice is because of His mercy, and His mercy is because of His justice. Allah is all-knowing because of His power, and He is all-powerful because of His knowledge. On that note, scholars of Islam, elders in Islam, brothers and sisters in Islam, Salaamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh.
Wa Alaikum Salaam wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh.
As you know, the event of Karbala has many dimensions, many. To give an example, let us say if 100 people witnessed a car accident and then there was a report to someone about the accident, you'll find that the report principally would be the same, fundamentally, but the description would be different. One person, for example, if he doesn't like to see blood, he will report based on blood. Like, for example, all I saw was two cars banging to each other, and then the ambulance came and they took the passengers out and there was blood everywhere. Another person will come and say, you know, if he doesn't like noises, he'll say, you know, there was a loud noise. And then the siren of the fire of the ambulance and the police was heard all over the place. Basically, they're all reporting the same incident, but you see their description is different, fundamentally the same. Karbala is the same, brothers and sisters. You'll find one scholar will come and talk about the injustice committed by Yazid and his henchmen, and he was simply concentrating on oppression and injustice. And they were saying, with all due respect, I'm not saying they're wrong, but this is their dimension of reporting the events of Karbala and narrating to us the event so that we derive some lessons from it. So they will say, brothers and sisters, make sure you don't give in to oppression and injustice, because if you do, then you are not carrying on the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Then there will be another scholar who will come and talk the event of Karbala from a different point, perspective and dimension. I don't know how many of you have noticed that yesterday I started touching upon a very interesting dimension, which you will probably not hear from many people. They do talk about it, but it's very rare. And that is the spiritual dimension of Karbala. And in that sense, you'll find that I don't pay too much attention to the graphic description of the events itself, because I want to concentrate on the spiritual dimension. Because for years and years, we've been simply coming to the same event. We've been hearing, we've been crying, we've been participating. There is a reward for it, no doubt. Okay? But the greater reward is when you come out of this center every night, and especially after the 12 days, and you say, you know what, I want to carry this message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But as I mentioned in the beginning, the only way to do it is how successful you think we will be to stage an offshoot revolution. I'm not saying to be violent, because it's not preached violence. What I mean by having a revolution is not giving in to oppression and injustice, but how successful we would be if we were to do that right away. No. That's why I mentioned, the first thing that we need to do is to have a revolution within ourselves. Because we as Muslims, our iman, including myself, you know, most of us, and maybe some of you have actually excelled in your iman, don't misunderstand me. But our iman is very weak, because I will show you some verses in the Quran that gives us the conditions. Imagine, if you all ask the following question, that if you existed in Karbala, in Kufa today, if one of us or all of us were present in Kufa today, at the time when the event took place, the biggest question and the biggest fear that I have is asking this question: which camp would we join? The camp of Al-Hussein or Yazid? Or would we stay neutral in between? You know, wavering whether this camp is right and that camp. Oh, and you know something? Everyone knew the camp of Al-Hussein was right. But Shaitan had got them. And they were not able to come out of the Shaitan's clutches. Give me a salawat. It's a very scary thing. Very scary. Now, the Quran therefore gives us the condition that in order for you to participate in such a revolution, and by the way, don't think that the revolutions have ended. There are more to come. There are more to come. And this is the divine plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me show you the plan of Allah. And Allah invites us to participate in this plan. وَالَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْحُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. All of you know this verse, you recite this all the time. Allah promises that the purpose of sending messengers and sending the religion with guidance and with truth and based on justice is that the religion is the divine plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not my plan. Okay? It's the divine plan. If you want to know the surah, surah number 9, verse number 33. That a time will come, this is the divine plan of Allah, that the religion of Islam will prevail over all religions. The event of Karbala is teaching us how to participate in such a plan. And as it was demonstrated by Imam al-Hussein and his faithful companions. So Allah gives us the condition that you will only participate in such a revolution or such a battle where the truth is fighting against falsehood only if you have the following characteristics which I'm going to talk today. So the dimension that we are talking about is the spiritual dimension of Karbala. We started yesterday by mentioning our perfection, our purpose of our existence. We are on a trial. Okay? Allah created us with a nature in the initial stages of our existence as being ignorant and being unjust. So we need to actually change that condition to justice and knowledge. Right? And the verse I mentioned yesterday, the verse is from Surah Al-Shams, when Allah says, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَهَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَهَا مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Allah swears, there's a theme in the surah, we don't have the time to talk about that theme, but here, in these four verses, Allah first swears by the soul which He made perfect as a tool for you to sit on this trial, on this imtihan, this examination that we are in. And then He says, just like before you go to the exams, the examiner and your professors and your teachers have given you books to study, otherwise you will not be able to sit for the exam. So those books and those materials that you refer before going for the exam are the tools for you to sit for the exam. Otherwise, if you are not allowed to refer to these tools, what do we say? It's injustice. Right? And Allah does not do injustice, right? As Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ النَّاسِ شَيْئًا وَلَكِنَّ النَّاسِ أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. Allah does not do any injustice to men, but it is men who are unjust to themselves. Never will Allah do injustice. Although there are some sections of the Muslims, they say that there is a justice of God, but He is free, God is free to do anything He wants to do. For example, look at these two statements. Everything that God does is just. One statement. Everything that God does is just. That's the first statement. And the second statement is, God does what is just. Is there a difference between the two? Yes or no? MashaAllah. اسمعي يا استاذ عمر. The first statement means that even if Allah wants to punish a good doer, it is justified. Because it says everything that God does is done. But the second statement is God does what is just. And that statement is supported by this verse, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ النَّاسِ شَيْئًا وَلَكِنَّ النَّاسِ أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. See? That is a justice that we believe in. Why? You know why, brothers and sisters? Because this is based on the teachings of our Ahlul Bayt, the Imams, the progeny of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam.
So, according to Allah's justice, He would not allow me to sit for this trial without giving me the necessary tools. That's why He says, فَهَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. He inspired into this soul which entered the body when it was still a lifeless body developing in the wombs of your mother. Surah Al-Mu'minun, verses number 12 to 14. Lifeless body, not having any sense of perception, any sense of movement. Brothers and sisters, pay attention. This is the spiritual dimension of Karbala. It's talking about the core human being. The purpose of Karbala was to show us how to become al-insan al-kamil, a perfect human being, whereby you will have achieved success. Qad aflaha man zakkaha. Not only that, as Brother Jawan has been mentioning many times, I've heard him speak, and I know the theme of his lecture, is we need to play an important role in the society. What is the end result of this? Activities and the roles we play in the society. Not that we have to come at the end of the day and say the Iman Center really fed us well. No. These are just the tools. You know the food that we get here? It's just the tool for the activities of the center. We need to eat, right? We come far away. Some of us skipped our food at home just to make it for the program. And rightfully so, they serve food and we thank Allah for that, right? But at the end of the day, right, the aim of every center should be to establish justice in society. Salawat ala
Muhammad.
Allah Muhammad. Muhammad. So who are the successful ones? Look, this is what Allah is saying, Surah Shams. Those who have purified their soul. What is the purification? Remember those three powers I mentioned yesterday? The three faculties? Most of you remember already now, the faculty of anger, the faculty of desire, and the faculty of the intellect, right? If we were to strike the middle course in these three faculties, we will have purified our soul. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Now, قَدْ أَفْلَهَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. The manifestation is the camp of Al-Husayn in Karbala. Who are the members of this camp? Those who have purified their souls, so that they act with justice. As I mentioned, having attained those three characteristics, bravery, contentedness, and wisdom, a fourth characteristic is born in such a person, which is justice. And that is why they were fighting, because justice was being abused. The religion of Muhammad, the religion of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was to bring justice, because this is what Allah promises. وَالَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ. The religion of Islam is based on justice. When Allah says justice will prevail over everything, meaning all those religions that don't practice justice and don't preach justice will automatically collapse. But brothers and sisters, we need to play a part in this plan. Imam Al-Hussein is showing us what are the characteristics that you have to attain in order to be part and parcel of this divine plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now look at this verse in Surah Ibrahim, chapter 14, verse number 24, which I recited in the beginning. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا. Have you not considered how Allah sets forth a parable? You know, speaking about parables, I'm just deviating just a few minutes. You know, the Quran has many verses along these lines. وَلَقَدْ ضَرَبْنَا لِلنَّاسِ فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَا فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانَ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا. Allah has set forth in this Quran full of examples, mathal, parables. Or, وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَا فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ Allah has set forth in this Quran, has displayed, not only setting forth, but also displaying, right in front of our faces when we read the Quran. Full of examples. But mankind, most of mankind, are ever disputing. أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ in جَدَلًا. Ever disputing. Does Allah mean this? Or this is not what Allah wants us to do. We are constantly disputing. The examples are there in the Quran for us to come closer to the message. Because sometimes the message contains a very deep metaphysical reality which human beings like us, common minds, cannot understand those realities. For example, there's a reality of prayers, there's a reality of fasting, there's a reality of paying zakat, there's a reality of giving charity and all that. These are very deep metaphysical realities. So Allah gives us the example. There is a reality about your spiritual dimension, which we have been talking about. And look at this example, right? أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا. Have you not considered how Allah sets forth a parable? What is a parable? The parable of a good word. كَلِمَةً طَيِّبًا. The parable of a good word. And what is the parable of a good word? We don't know what this word is. Here, it only says kalima, word. The parable of the good word is kashajaratin tayyiba, like a good tree. This is Surah Ibrahim. I don't know how many of you have studied this verse, but it's so interesting. Asluha thabit wa far'uha fis samaa. So here is the parable of a good word, like a good tree, whose roots are firm. Asluha thabit. Usulaneen. Look at our usulaneen. Tawheed, adalat, nubuwa, ma'ad, right? And imamah. Imamah and ma'ad. This is our fundamental principles of Islam. The roots are firm. Wa far'uha fis samaa, furu. Furu'aneen. The branches. If the roots are firm of this tree, which is the parable of a good word. We don't know what the word is yet. Okay? The parable of a good word is like a good tree whose roots are firm and the branches reaches the heaven. So if you understand the fundamental principles of your religion and then you follow the branches, the furu'adin, the usul is the fundamental principle. And the furu is the branches of the religion. Right? What is the end result? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. You achieve success because when you follow the branches, it is such a good tree that the branches eventually will reach heaven. And you will attain success and you will be granted Jannah. Salawat ala Muhammad. You see how beautiful the Quran is? And how the Quran is usually understood? Now, let's go to Surah Ali Imran, which is chapter 3. Okay? Verse number, give me another salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Verse number 45. When the angels come to Maryam alayhi salam to give her what news? The news of a word from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A word. Look. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. إِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُبَشِّرُكِ بِكَلِمَاتٍ مِّنْ كَلِمَةٍ. Same, the word. Now what is the word? What are the good news given to Maryam alayhi salam? The miraculous birth of a child. Isa ibn Maryam. So the word that Allah is talking about here, which is the good news being given to Maryam alayhi salam, is a being whose name is Isa ibn Maryam. Now let's go back to Surah Ibrahim. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا كَلِمًا. Have you not Have you not considered how Allah sets forth parable, the parable of a good word? Now, what is a good word now? Now look, by taking the example from other verses from the Quran to understand what is the connotation of kalima used in the Quran, now look how we translate this. Have you not considered how Allah sets forth parable, the parable of a good being? Who is a good being? It's the one who has purified his soul. It's al-insan al-kamil. And the parable of a good being is like the parable of a good tree. Kashajaratin tayyibah. Asluha thabit. Wa faruha fissamah. Brothers and sisters, this verse is other level of understanding besides what I am saying right now, that it is the parable of a good being who has purified his soul and has attained success at aflaha man zakkaha, so that the roots, his fundamentals are sound and the branches reaches the heaven, because now he's attaining success. The good tree here mentioned is none other than the tree of Ahl al-Bayt, the progeny of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that was manifested in Karbala, in the camp of al-Imam al-Hussein. But look, whenever Allah talks about evil, immediately he brings verses about good. Brother Nasrani knows, he says, yes. MashaAllah. Whenever Allah talks about the justice, the injustice done by evil, he brings other verses which show that there are some people who do justice. There's a balance. Al-Mizan. Right? Now look what Allah says. وَمَثَلُ كَلِمَةٍ حَبِيثًا evil. And the parable of an evil word, كَشَجَرَةٍ حَبِيث. The parable of an evil word is like an evil tree. Right? And what is the characteristics of an evil tree? وَمَثَلُ كَلِمَةٍ خَبِيثَةٍ كَشَجَرَةٍ خَبِيثَةٍ اجْتُثَّتْ مِنْ فَوْقِ الْأَرْضِ مَا لَهَا مِنْ قَرَارٍ. You know, when I read this verse, how beautiful Allah put it. The parable of an evil being. Evil word means evil being. It's like an evil tree. You know, which tree Allah is talking about here? Especially the Umayyad dynasty. The usurpers of the mantle of Khilafah, who were seeking the Ahl al-Bayt because they were for justice and truth and nothing else. A man comes to our sixth holy Imam, alayhi salam, Imam Jafar al-Sadiq, salawatullah Muhammad. You know who is this person who comes to the sixth Imam? He is Sa'd, the grandson of Marwan. Marwan comes from the Umayyad dynasty, the evil tree, the evil roots. His forefathers are regarded as evil. So he comes to our sixth holy Imam, Imam Jafar al-Sadiq, and saying, "Ya Imam, I am really scared. Will Allah accept me on the Day of Judgment, although I am your follower?" The Imam is asking me, "Why? Ya Sa'd, why?" You know what he says? He says, "Because my forefathers have been referred as the evil tree, kashajarat in khabith, in the Quran. Do I stand any chance? Because I am the grandson of those who did evil to your grandfathers." So the Imam says, "Haven't you read the Quran in Surah Ibrahim, where Allah says that Ibrahim says to his people, 'Faman tabi'ani fa'innahu minni.' Whoever follows me is from me." Nabi Ibrahim is telling his people. You know who Nabi Ibrahim was? He was Khalilullah, the friend of Allah. So the criteria is just to follow the message. So Nabi Ibrahim is saying to his people, "Faman tabi'ani fa'innahu minni." So the Imam says that if you follow me, you are minna Ahl al-Bayt, salat Allah Muhammad wa Allah. How beautiful the Quran is. All these nights, right? I'm not saying that I'm taking the trouble, it is my duty. The people who are arranging this program, it is their duty to honor a great person like Al-Imam Al-Hussein to have a session like this. What I have been trying to do all this night is to show you the dimensions, the various dimensions of Kabbalah from the Quranic perspective. And the idea is that after the 12 nights, you know what is the first revolution that you can do? Most of you are asking the question, Brother Ali wants us to have a revolution within ourselves. The first revolution that you can do is to check the Quran every day and read it. That's the first step. Because there is no book like the Quran. There is no book like the Quran. That even if you were to place this book on the mountains, Allah says in Surah Al-Hashr, the mountains will collapse. And look how we are treating the Quran. It's a great book. It gives us the reality of our existence. It explains to us the reality of our existence. And we should not wait for another Muharram to come and then to have another speaker to come here, and perhaps he will talk about the same thing I've been talking about. It will be a historical event. Why do we have to be reminded all the time? I know reminders are good, but we need to come the next Muharram and say, yes, last year our spiritual level was this much. This year I can affirm that I am higher than that. Why? Because we have understood the message of Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam. Salawatullah. Brothers and sisters, yesterday when we were talking about the spiritual dimension of Karbala, we mentioned that in the process of purifying the soul, striking the middle course in each of the three powers that Allah has endowed upon a human being, the three faculties, you develop a fourth characteristic in yourself, in your soul, which is called justice. So look at the opposite. Those who do not strike the middle course in each of these three powers, right? They go to the extreme. If striking the middle course produces a just person, what happens to a person who does not strike the middle course in each of these three powers, the faculty of anger and the faculty of desire and the faculty of intellect, right? What characteristic does it develop? The opposite of justice, brothers and sisters, injustice. And injustice gives rise to tyranny. Yazid, Mal'un Yazid, was a tyrant ruler. How can Imam Al-Hussein give allegiance to such a man? When he is not even purifying his soul, he is going to the extreme of each of his powers that Allah has given them. That's why Imam Al-Hussein says, a man like me cannot do allegiance to a man like Yazid. Let's talk about the justice. Because the bottom line is, the whole religion of Islam is based on justice, brothers and sisters. Justice, by the way, I don't know how many of you know, is of three kinds. And excuse me if this is going to be very personal sometimes, this discussion. I cannot help it. It will strike the inner core of yourself when we talk about justice. There are three kinds of justice, brothers and sisters. According to the Quran, I don't have the time to go into the verses because time is limited. Very quickly, there is justice between man and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah wants us to perform certain deeds. Why? What is the purpose of performing those deeds? You will find that everything that Allah commands us in the Quran is to bring justice to yourself and to the society. Look at the example of the verse in Surah Al-Rahman. وَأَقِيمُ الْوَزْنَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا تُخْسِرُ الْمِيزَانَ. Do not cause injustice in every dealings in your affairs in the society. Even when a person is selling meat, for example, it's better to give more than to give less. Why? Because the end result of maintaining justice is not only pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but to bring about a just society. And this was the message of Kabbalah, brothers and sisters. So this is the justice between man and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, brothers and sisters, this is what we have been overlooking as far as our responsibility is concerned. There is hukukun nas, justice between men. And I'll give you an example. The justice among human beings, which means that everyone must honor each other. As far as you being a human being, ashraful makhlukan, when Allah honors us in the Quran, He gives us so much prestige. When I read this verse, tears comes down my eyes. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّبْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. We have honored you so much. That's why he congratulates himself in Surah Mu'minun. فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنَ الْخَالِقِينَ. I am the best of the creators. Why? Because he is created from the best of the molds. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. The best of the molds. So that you can elevate yourself to come higher than the angels. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. There are those, especially, the good example is the people of Yatim. There are those who stoop low in their moral behavior because they are filled with moral vices. Why? Because when they looked at these three powers that Allah has given them, they have not struck the middle balance. They have not struck the balance. They have gone to the extreme. So they have acquired these moral vices. And that is why they can stoop that low. Believe me, brothers and sisters, I know, I am convinced that none of you in this audience here are capable of doing the crimes of the crimes that Yazid and his people did in Karbala. I am convinced. But that doesn't mean that we have succeeded. Because Shaitan is working very hard. He knows that if you keep on purifying yourself, you will reach to that level where you will always please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he doesn't want you to go up. He wants you to come down. So hukukun nas, this is what Shaitan strikes at. When we are dealing with each other, Shaitan comes and destroys our mind. And he asks us to do opposite things. Like for example, you know the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided. He says, every believer has 30 obligations. Brothers and sisters, when I read this, I'm so scared. I'm scared. We are not complying with its obligations. These obligations are, I'll give an example, forgiving mistakes. How many of us do that? Do we forgive each other? Being merciful and kind to each other. Especially when he's in a strange land, guarding his secrets. We are ready to reveal our secrets. This is why we should cry in Arab religion. When Bibi Zainab was asked in Sham by Yazid, how did God treat you in Karbala? You know what she replied? Because everything we saw was sweet. We cried the way they were killed. I know that. But we should cry because we are not fulfilling our obligations. We should give our other brother a hand when he's about to fall, accepting his apology without discouraging backbiting. Persisting and giving him good advice, enjoining good and forbidding evil, fulfilling his trust, visiting him when he is ill. How many of us visit each other when we are sick? Tell me. These are the basic obligations, the hukukun nas, is what, according to what I read in some books, it is because of hukukun nas most of us will go in hell. Most of us. But inshallah, I'll continue tomorrow because time is limited. But then comes the third kind of justice, which is justice between the living and the dead. You know, when we go and visit the graveyard to recite Fatiha for our deceased, we are being accused that we are grave worshippers. Little do they know that this is a justice mentioned in the Quran. That when we have to pray for our dead, in what sense? We should remember the dead with kindness. Not speak bad about them, even if they had done some mistakes. We should pay their debts. We should act according to their wills. We should pray for them. We should give alms, seeking forgiveness from God in on their behalf, brothers and sisters. Salawatullah Muhammad.
Muhammad.
It's not a joke. The purpose of our existence, believe me, is not a joke. When I study the Quran, I shiver. And you know why some other people don't shiver? It's because they haven't opened the Quran, maybe. I shiver. I'm afraid. Let's go to Karbala and see the situation and learn from Karbala so that we can improve. When Abbas, the brother of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, is massacred by the enemies, you know the reason why he went to the water? He went to fetch water for the kids, for the children who were crying in the tent. They were thirsty. They did not drink anything for quite some time. And when Abbas falls, Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, my backbone is finished. Habib ibn Mazahir is not there. Muslim ibn Awsaja is not there. Abbas is not there. The commanders of his army, they're all gone, brothers and sisters. It is reported that when Abbas fell down, Imam Hussein comes and says, ya Abbas, you know what he says to Imam Hussein? Let's take my body back to the tent. Don't take my body back to the tent. Why? He says, I feel ashamed. I could not bring water for the children. And when Abbas comes to the tent, his body comes to the tent. So Kaina comes to Abbas and says, ya Abbas, my uncle, where is the water? And then Hussein says, he tried to get to the water, but the enemy subdued him. Imam al-Hussein, the historians say, according to the reports, he never felt like that. He cried so hard. Where is the justice? We are talking about justice. And there's a theme of our discussion. Justice, brothers and sisters. Justice, justice. Where is the justice? And then when he's all by himself, Ali Akbar, a 19-year-old son of Imam al-Hussein, he comes to the Imam and says, oh Imam, allow me to go and fight. Allow me to get water for Sukaina. And Imam says, how can I give you permission? They will kill you. They will butcher you. Ali Akbar says to the Imam, let me go and get water at least. You know, I think I can hear some of the enemies. After all, we know that we are going to meet our death. So Imam al-Hussein says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, you are my witness. Whenever I wanted to remember Rasulullah, our grandfather, I used to look at Ali Akbar, who had a face resembling that of Rasulullah. How will I bear to see him leave this world? And finally, Ali Akbar is given the permission to go and fight, brothers and sisters. It's so sad. He goes to fight, he goes to get the water, and it is reported that in the process the enemies attack him, and a young 19-year-old boy kills about 120 people. Can you imagine the strength he had? And this is again, I'm saying time and again, it is not only the physical strength, it's the strength of Iman that the members of Imam Hussein's camp had. And finally, you know, Ali Akbar fights very hard. As I mentioned, he kills 120 of the enemies and he manages to come back to the camp. And when he comes back to the camp, he says to Imam, you know, let me go again. And Imam says, okay, you go again. And he goes and the enemies subdue him. They massacre him. They kill him. Imam al-Hussein comes to his body and says, oh my son, Allah is my witness. Now I wanted to see my grandfather. I used to look at your face. But don't worry, you tried your best to get the water. But do you know that the Prophet is waiting for you in Jannah with a glass of water? And you can drink as much as you want. Imam al-Hussein had no strength.
he told the other young members of his camp, come and pick up the body. And when the body comes to the camp, his mother Layla cries over Zainab, the sister of Imam Hussein. And I'm going to talk about Zainab, brothers and sisters. What a woman. What a woman she was, what a role she played. Believe me, sometimes I try to think about our women, if they were to play that role, if they were given that role, would they be able to do, to perform the way she did? And she is buried with patience. Why, brothers and sisters? Patience, forbearance, because they have purified their soul. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdillah. Everyone recite together. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdillah. Wa ala awlani al-Husayn. Wa ala ashabi al-Husayn. One more time. As-salamu ala al-Husayn. وعلى علي بن الحسين